Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So when the Starbucks Corporation announced it was closing 600 stores by next March, was your first thought, after feeling bad for the employees losing their jobs, of course, yippee, now maybe some bank branches and drug stores will go away too? Or was it, oh no, there goes the neighborhood? Starbucks has long been a punching bag for the way the coffee shops seem to sprout up on every corner in some places, but in others, it was a sign of revitalization. Slate.com was so taken with the disparate reactions to the announcement of closings that it solicited readers to email their reactions, and it mapped the results. Chadwick Matlin, a reporter for Slate's upcoming business site, The Big Money, oversaw the project, and he joins me now. Welcome to WNYC, Chad. Hi there.
Thanks for having me.
Is your local Starbucks on the list?
There are a few in New York City, but not one close to me. I'm not a caffeine drinker, actually.
Were you surprised by the response? What are you mapping?
We actually were. I would say we probably received between 50 and 60 testimonials, which, especially considering the technology we were using, which wasn't the easiest, was actually pretty good. And they were all very sort of thoughtful, some bemoaning the Starbucks when it moved in and how it drove a local coffee shop out of town, and some saying that this was sort of their third place, which is a term that Howard Schultz, the exec of Starbucks, likes to use a lot, saying that, you know, the Starbucks should be your third place outside of home and the office. And some people were very hurt by it leaving town and saw it as a good place for the neighborhood to come together. And you see that in a lot of these Save Our Starbucks campaigns that are cropping up around the country.
And I want to bring into this conversation with us David Cruz, anchor reporter and host of Newark Today on WBGO, public radio in Newark, friend of the show, sometimes substitute host when I go on vacation. David Cruz has been following the strong reaction that Newark has had to the announced closing of a downtown Starbucks. Hey, David.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. So where exactly is or was this Starbucks, and why did they close, and what's the reaction to it?
Well, it still is in downtown Newark. In fact, just a couple of blocks from WBGO, the station where I work. And it is in the heart of the downtown business district, and really was a symbol of kind of a normalcy or an acceptability of the city of Newark. And the reaction has been pretty strong. People don't have a lot of cafe options down here. And so the reaction was pretty immediate and pretty strong.
Now, Starbucks is something that both Mayor Sharp James and Mayor Cory Booker agree about. They don't always agree about everything. But Mayor James christened the cappuccino machine when the store opened. And I read that Mayor Booker put in a personal plea to save it from closure.
Yeah, we had him on the show, I guess, a week and a half ago, on the very night, in fact, that the Newark store was announced as being on the list. And he admits to being a two or three latte a day drinker.
Whoa.
And so it hit him. And his reaction was that, you know, we want to keep Starbucks there. He recognizes that in a town like this, it is indeed a symbol of something positive in the city of Newark. But he did say that if the store does close, that he would work to get another cafe in there. And it's worth noting that there have been a couple of other Starbucks-like cafes that have tried to open up downtown and have not done well. So I think there's something to be said for the brand name.
Now we know why Mayor Booker always seems to have so much energy, huh?
Exactly.
Let's see. From our comments page, somebody writes, maybe Congress should create a bailout package for all those people who made poor coffee choices. Ha, ha, ha. But Chadwick Matlin from Slate.com, are there other Newarks out there on your map? And by the way, we've linked to the map at our webpage. So if you want to see this Slate.com map of people's disparate reactions to the closing of the local Starbucks, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. But who's in the league with Newark?
Well, I mean, there are plenty. As far as big cities go, So sort of putting a threshold of probably 100,000 people or so population-wise, Baton Rouge, Louisiana got hit pretty hard. And it's hard to get these sort of city-by-city stats because of the way Starbucks sorts their data. But state-wise, interestingly, the South and the Midwest really got hit the most hard. But we heard from readers who, one of them in New Mexico, who said that, you know, you had to drive 30 miles to the next coffee shop because the Starbucks there was the only place around. And so I think Newark isn't alone in that sense. I don't know. I mean, in Newark, it sounds as if the official reaction is stronger than elsewhere. Across the country, it seems it's more grassroots organizing around this these coffee shops that were once, you know, reviled for ruining the local mom-and-pop stores.
And listeners, we can take your phone calls on this, your reaction to the closing announcement of your local Starbucks if you're in that situation, or just your relationship with Starbucks as a whole. 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. I suspect that for many of you, this may be a little bit like our discussion of polling last hour. Everybody hates the fact that the polls are always out there in the media on the presidential race, and you all read them. So maybe you hate that Starbucks is so predominant in your neighborhood, but then you take your laptop or your buddy and you go there and use it as your third place. 646-778-3729, 646-SPUD-RAY, 646-778-3729, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, David Cruz, what was Starbucks' reaction to Mayor Booker's plea? I mean, this is a business. They're not, you know, a charity. They're not in they're not a nonprofit dedicated to the revitalization of downtown Newark. Did they respond publicly? Did they feel any kind of responsibility to, you know, maybe live with a lower profit margin or even a loss for the greater good here?
Now, that's funny. I think, you know, their reaction was pretty corporate. They said that, you know, they're heartened by the response and that Starbucks is happy to be a part of the community, et cetera, but the store is not doing as well as it should. And it should be noted, too, that this Starbucks closes at 7 p.m., as much of what's downtown in Newark does, and it's not open on Sundays, and it has limited hours on Saturdays.
Right.
So you could compare that to a store, say, in Jersey City, which now is open from, in the Newport section, which is also Jersey City's downtown. It's open from 5 a.m. Thursday until 1 a.m. Monday morning consecutively. So that's the kind of difference that you're looking if you want to just take two stores and see how they're performing. But Starbucks,
right,
you know, their initial reaction was pretty corporate.
And, you know, you laughed at the question, but I think it's really sad that we've come to the point where we don't even expect corporations to have some kind of relationship with the communities in which they exist. We certainly expect ourselves as individuals to have relationships with the communities in which we live and not just to function in our own self-interest. And, you know, I think that there was a time when businesses were more expected to obviously be in business to make money, but to also have some relationships with the communities in which they exist that might mitigate some of their decisions around the edges. The fact that you laughed at it even as a question, I think, you know, doesn't say that much about you. It says something about how our standards have gone down with what we expect from corporate America.
Well, certainly. I mean, I was kidding, but for sure. I mean, Starbucks especially always kind of has or tries to maintain this image of being really community oriented. But as evidenced by their response, it seems to me, I mean, the response that we got officially was pretty much the same response that the Times got when the Times asked the question, as I'm sure the local paper in every other town where there's happened, you know, they got pretty much the same response as
Chadwick,
well.
Chadwick, you wanted to get back in on that?
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, it's interesting you note the relationship between Starbucks and community, because we're seeing definitely a relationship between the community towards Starbucks, and it's a one-way street, it seems, that the community is organizing to try and keep Starbucks, but Starbucks isn't organizing to try and keep the community.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's take a call. Here is Keisha in Morristown. You're on WNYC. Hi, Keisha.
Hi. Actually, I am in Jersey City presently, but I used to be a student and live in Newark, and I was really happy when I saw that there was a new Starbucks, and you hit the point when you said that there was a degree of acceptability that comes along with that, because for years and years there's been talks of revitalization of this very economically depressed city, and it was definitely a symbol of progress. So it's disappointing to see that it has to go. And as a student there really wasn't much in terms of coffee shops or places with internet access like you might find in a regular college town. So I'm sure it's disappointing for the students. There are about four universities in that area.
Keisha, thank you very much. Jeff in Rahway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brian. David, this is your old neighbor from Jersey City. Jeff, how are you?
Hi, Jeff.
Good to hear you're working in Newark. But I know Rahway's been undergoing a lot of redevelopment. You know, we were featured in the New York Times last summer. They're building condos, apartments. I thought I would never see this here in my lifetime. And I know the city had approached Starbucks a number of years ago to set up shop, and we're kind of rebuffed, saying, you know, it's not your time yet, you're not ready yet. And a lot of people in town took that as a personal blow, because at the same time, you read the New York Times, you go online, and all you read about are people bemoaning the explosive growth of Starbucks, and our little town had an inferiority complex, and we couldn't get one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you take a town like Newark who welcomes a Starbucks almost as a symbol of their viability economically, but really you could argue that Newark would be better served by having a local owner of a coffee shop who might feel a little bit more personal responsibility and probably, save a nickel or a dime on a cup of coffee.
Jeff, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Annika in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Annika.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I was just calling to say that on my Facebook status bar, where it says, you know, what are you doing? I put Starbucks is the elixir of the evil empire. Resist or get your fix. And I put that up like a few days ago. And so it's just funny that I turned the radio and you guys are talking about Starbucks, because I do. I think, you know, I can't stand it. There's a Starbucks in Barnes & Noble, and then Barnes & Noble has put so many of my favorite bookstores out of business.
Yeah.
And I go to Barnes & Noble and get Starbucks. Like,
right, and that's reflected in that. Read that status line again.
Starbucks is the elixir of the evil empire. Resist or get your fix.
Resist or get your fix, right. And there's the conflict, right? There's your ambivalence all bound up in that.
Yeah, you know, and then I was telling the guy, I said, you know, I live in between two Dunkin' Donuts. So, and then there's like a host of little coffee shops in the neighborhood or, you know, not too far, you know, within walking distance. So in New York City, you just have so many choices, period. And places like the Midwest or the South where the Starbucks are closing, or even Newark, you know, they're going to want it, regardless of the impact it has on, like, the larger independent mm-hmm. economic structure. You know, they're going to want it because they don't want to feel stigmatized.
Right. I think you've really said it all. Annika, thank you very much. And we're just about out of time. But, Chadwick, even with these closings, I gather Starbucks isn't the hot company that it once was, and that their stock is less than half of its 52-week high.
Yeah, it's really sort of fallen from grace, and their margins are evaporating a bit, and they're rolling out different product lines that don't always stick, you know, well with consumers, and they've got a new, I think it's like an $11,000 coffee maker that is supposed to make the best cup of coffee ever, but you know they're still trying to find their footing here as the economy changes and as.
And is this a result of the economic downturn, or is it that the business model that was based so much on expansion to I think 15,000 stores in 5 years just was overreaching?
I mean, part of it. I mean, it's a mix of both. Obviously, there's less expendable income going around, but it's also, I mean, some can say it's a mark of hubris, right? You overexpand, and at some point, at some point, growth just isn't possible anymore. The market becomes saturated and it matures, and there just isn't more. There isn't anywhere else to go, especially when you have as many competitors as Starbucks has, and Starbucks isn't exactly, you know, acting alone in the coffee marketplace.
David Cruz, anchor reporter and host of Newark Today on WBGO, Newark Public Radio at 88.3. Chadwick Matlin, a reporter for Slate's upcoming business site, The Big Money. You can see his map of people's reactions to Starbucks closings with a link at our site, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. Thanks, both of you, for coming on.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk about these two hazards at the beach and elsewhere that seem to have struck so many people. You probably haven't heard that much about riptides before, but they're all over the place now, killing people in beaches in our area. And 12 people were struck by lightning over the weekend. Stay with us.